You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In this world of turmoil, you're struggling to find energetic balance, and you panic because your spirituality is not where you desire it to be. Yet creating a powerful foundation of empowerment is what you know you can achieve. Hi, I am Martin Neil Campbell, author of the book Receiving the Gift We Give, which is available on Amazon eBooks and my website, receivingthegiftwegive.com. I invite you to uncover your power and greatly expand your energies by embracing your divine self.
Sovereign Self is about individual empowerment and freedom. In exploring this sovereign self, our discussions will encompass self-love, oneness, and diverse spiritual understandings, as life is a journey of expansion which never ends. Join author Martin Neil Campbell, trainer and business facilitator Karen Murphy, and spiritual archaeologist Ron Mayer as their discussions help lead their listeners into an ever-expanding journey of peace, love, joy, and freedom to become who you desire and be your sovereign self.
Welcome to Sovereign Self. I am your host, Martin Neil Campbell, and your two absolutely divine and fabulous co-hosts are Ron Mayer and Karen Murphy. Say hello to everyone, guys.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, folks.
Yes, indeed. Hello, hello, and so glad to have you on the program. I didn't say it last week, but this week's expression of love is integrity. Now, it was very interesting when I looked up the definition. I actually disliked it a lot, but luckily there was two of them. But the first definition most mentioned right up front was the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. And I'm going, okay. But then I looked up moral principles. And moral principles are the principles of right and wrong that are accepted by an individual or a social group. And they kept going to social group. And I'm going, And I would say that moral principles, as I just stated by definition, need not be loving at all. There's nothing about being loving in it whatsoever. And I don't know about you, but I find that quite unacceptable as a definition.
I'm with you on that one.
But, you know, we see it all the time in social situations where a majority rules. And many of our social morals are non-functional because they are based upon controlling the people to suit a specific group's desires. They need not be heart-centered or create a loving action at all. The other problem with setting standards for our morals is that many of our morals are judgmental and based upon heritage, culture, and religion. So what happens when our heritage, culture, and religion clash? Usually prejudice, discrimination, and hate. And I would say none of that has anything to do with integrity. And I believe from a sovereign self perspective that we should re-examine our morals to ensure we have integrity and are coming from the heart for everyone, not just a few or for ourselves. Yet, according to the dictionary, what we do now is judge what is right and wrong according to a social group. We are actually stating that integrity is determined by these social groups. And yet integrity has nothing to do, in my mind, with mass belief or social morals. Integrity has everything to do with coming from your heart and conscience and living up to those standards. Now, having said that, there is a second definition of integrity, as I mentioned, that works much better. And it says the state of being whole and undivided, which, as a synonym, has unity, wholeness, coherence, cohesion, and togetherness. And I think all those words work much better towards integrity than the first one. And, as usual, here are a few quotes that outline integrity in this manner. Now, the first one is by Harper Lee, and he's taking a quote out of a book, and it says, "They're certainly entitled to think that, and they're entitled to full respect for their opinions. But before I can live with what other folks have to say, I've got to live with myself. The one thing that doesn't abide by majority rule is a person's conscience." The second one, which I like, was by Frederick Douglass, and he said, "I prefer to be true to myself, even at the hazard of incurring the ridicule of others, rather than to be false and incur my own abhorrence. Now, that one I liked, because it does go to self-dislike if you know you're not living up to your own integrity. Mm-hmm. And this one is a famous line, and it's by John E. Lewis, and it says, "If not us, then who? And if not now, then when?" And oddly enough, for integrity, that simple set of two lines says a lot. I'll give one last one. It was by Wayne Dyer. And it says, "Before speaking, consult your inner truth barometer and resist the temptation to tell people only what they want to hear." Mm-hmm. And that goes to a lot of where people fall short on integrity as well.
Yeah.
You know, people have a sense of what they should be like and how they should behave. And when asked, people can be quite clear on what they believe is the appropriate behavior in any situation, especially when observing others. But to me, integrity is measured on how well I live up to my own comments and beliefs in what all that I do. I believe that scores of people have solid ethics, as most know how to come from their heart, but their lack of integrity shows up in their actions. An example of that was mentioned to me the other day, and I've heard it many times, and it is about people who go to church. Once they are outside the church, they ignore what they have been told and what they profess to believe when inside the church. And prejudice is a prime example, as is being ruthless in business, gossip, and just putting other people down. So we have a dual personality in a sense from that angle. What we say is right, and what we do can be two entirely different things, and that shows no integrity. So when asked how people should behave, they say one thing, of course, and then turn around and do the opposite. And I have witnessed these behaviors in many people. But I want to make one thing clear. For me, when a person shows a lack of loving behavior, it demonstrates a lack of integrity. Because for me, integrity is an expression of love, and it refers to our capacity to remain steadfast and adhere to our ethics. In other words, our level of integrity reflects how well we come from the heart and stick to the values that creates. People display a lack of integrity as well as ethics for many reasons, and most of them can be traced back to our learned behaviors and experiences. We are taught to behave with a lack of ethics and integrity by our parents, friends, and employers, and because of our stature in society, commonly demonstrate prejudice, abusive behavior, low self-esteem, and the rest of it. And while I could write a book on these issues, I will try and limit my observations. Today, sadly, observe where the rich and powerful have taken society. Statistics show that more people are becoming destitute every day, even within the richest countries on earth, with a trend towards monetary polarization. However, financial status is just a symptom. The root of the problem stems from low ethics and integrity among many members of our society. And history has shown that social inequity and unrest occurs during those periods the most, when the rich become super rich and powerful at the expense of everyone else. And our societies are growing this polarity disparity more every year. The wealthy control the corporations, and the corporations control both our politicians, governments, and religions. The general population, unfortunately, is losing power and the integrity they once held. And over the past decades, even our social structure and hierarchy has been manipulated to favor the super rich. And this concentration of power is unfavorable because the structure of society begins to resemble that of a dictatorship. And dictatorships have a long-established history of failure as the general population's needs become secondary. We have seen this throughout history, and we're seeing it today in the world. As a result, the ethics and integrity of those in control influence and dictate how the population behaves, and unfortunately, many people follow the leader. And we've seen it here at home as corporate and government leaders become self-serving and indifferent to the population's interests, and many in our population are behaving in similar fashion. Survival and personal gain has become all important because of this. People's rights have decreased in connection with the lack of personal responsibility and respect for others. This has invariably led to an increase in theft, deceit, and fraud. And generally, I find some people's minds, work as follows. If I can only get ahead by being selfish and greedy, if this is what I need to do to provide for my family, then this is what I must do. Yet it is this behavior which shows a lack of integrity and always leads to disaster. We must understand that while we may believe corporations, governments, or institutions have few ethics and little integrity, that's not true. It is the people who work within them who are lacking in both. Don't blame the institution. This is what they want us to do, as it diverts our attention. The lack of integrity can always lead back to the board of directors, stockholders, executives, and management. Ethics and integrity issues can be traced back to the people who are at the center of command. That's what we should always remember, and that's who we should always look to. Yet, the same lack of integrity applies to all of us. Our day-to-day behaviors demonstrate whether we have integrity. And whether you know about a corporation's ethics and integrity or not, when you purchase goods and services from companies with low ethics or integrity, you are supporting and rewarding their actions. One such example is a corporation's use of child labor in factories overseas. We've seen that a lot. And yet there's companies who produce the cheapest goods and give you great value for the money, as you believe, when doing this. But if we had any integrity, we would know these things and change our behaviors. But I'll put the positive in. As the universe would have it, humanity is going through an evolution and expansion process, which we've mentioned a lot before. But this will move many people to a higher awareness and ultimately to their higher selves. And in recent years, there's been a groundswell of people who choose to examine the ethics and integrity of certain companies, institutions, and associations before they become associated with them. And these people are aware and are more conscious than most, and I applaud them. Your actions are a direct reflection of your beliefs, but remember, you receive the gifts you give. Demonstrate your integrity and become responsible for your actions or lack of actions. Integrity as an expression of love is not just living up to what you believe, want to believe, or have been told. It is not that simple. Many people have beliefs and behaviors that are harmful for others. From the perspective of love, this shows no integrity. It is important to examine every aspect of your beliefs, how you behave while discussing them, and how you treat others because of them. This will enable you to get to know who you are and who you want to be and live with integrity from your heart. So when our behaviors are in harmony with our heart, we demonstrate integrity. It's like the old cliche says, walking the talk. And in case I have not said this enough on former programs, I hope that what you want to be is an agent for bringing love, joy, unity, understanding, and freedom into all of our lives, including your own, as there is no integrity in doing otherwise. And that is my long-winded introduction for the day. There you go.
That was wonderful, Martin. Certainly gives lots of cause for ponder. Mm. One of the things that came, actually a number of things came to mind for me, but I would like to say when we talk about, in your introduction, when you talked about corporations and child labor and that it's not good enough just to be ignorant, I think that ties so nicely with one of the other expressions of love that we've previously spoken of, and that is being knowledgeable and being accountable for finding that knowledge. Ignorance is not an excuse for not having integrity. Mm-hmm. The other thing that came to mind was you don't have to lose your integrity in order to be successful.
Yes.
There was a couple of quotes, if I might be able to add to yours, from Zig Ziglar, who is an American author, a salesman, and a motivational speaker. So when you think salesman, I don't know about you guys, but like, huh, integrity, salesman? Help me out here. My point being is that, and I know nothing about this man, but my point being is that you don't have to not have integrity in order to be successful. I believe the commonality around, for example, salespeople is not about selling to meet quotas. It's about selling to help other people meet their needs or to satisfy something that is needed or required. So a couple of quotes that came to mind was, as I said, from Zig Ziglar, the foundation stones for a balanced success are honesty, character, integrity, faith, love, and loyalty. Another quote of his is, with integrity, you have nothing to fear since you have nothing to hide. With integrity, you will do the right thing, so you will have no guilt. Mm-hmm. And my last and favorite one, and the one that comes to mind when I knew we were going to be talking about integrity on this program, excuse me, is be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Mm-hmm. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. And of course, that was Don Miguel Ruiz.
Mm-hmm. Funny, I saw that one and I thought, Karen might put that one in.
Because, you know, it really speaks to your heart. It speaks to what you were talking about in your introduction, Martin,
yep.
Around, you know, integrity really comes from the heart. And it's not about this perceived right and wrong and rule books and whether it's cultural, whether it's religion, whatever it happens to be, it really comes from within, as do all of the expressions of love.
Yes, it's not a social thing at all.
Right.
It's a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. Personal is probably where I would like to go with the term integrity. I mean, first of all, you did say that people can look out in the world today and they can blame governments, they can blame religions, and they can think grandiose concepts and blame them for a lack of integrity. But the bottom line is, how is each individual handling their own integrity themselves? How are they developing that within themselves? Primarily what it is for me is, do you do exactly what you say you're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, if you don't, and most people have a very difficult time with it's easy to do the easy stuff that comes, you know, naturally to you. But when you're challenged, it can sometimes be very difficult because it takes a brutal look at oneself in order to hold integrity. And a lot of people will fall into, Karen, you had mentioned that the term gossip. A lot of people will end up gossiping. Well, there's no integrity there when you are one way with one group of people, but then in private, you're something else.
No, that's right.
There's no integrity there.
Exactly.
But like with all of the terms that we have talked about in the past, I look and say, okay, yes, integrity is an extremely difficult principle in order to put into practice. It's not going to be easy. You're going to fall flat on your face a number of times. And this is where self-forgiveness is going to be a requirement. But you do with what you can do in the moment, and you can only go forward with what you have right now. So as I said before, with other terms, we have integrity, but then we have absolute integrity. So we can start with integrity. And with your understanding of what that might mean. But the more you meditate, the more you focus on being an integral person, the more you will understand exactly what that means and how difficult it can be. It's not going to be an easy road. None of this is ever going to be easy. If it was, we would already have ascended. We would already be there. So it is going to take some consistency with holding integrity. And consistency is probably one of the biggest attributes that I like with integrity, because the more you're consistent, the easier being in holding integrity is going to be for you.
Yeah. And I laughed there because before you got there, the word I wrote down I wanted to talk about was consistency. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. But you're right. Consistency, you can't flip-flop and you can't gossip behind people's backs and say something to them different in front or to other people. There's no consistency there, obviously. But mm-hmm. The same as the little example from the church. If you're in the church saying, oh, yes, we should behave this way and we should do this and we must work at doing this more, and then you go outside and do the exact opposite. There's no mm-hmm. consistency. And until you can get that, you won't have any integrity.
And even between the sexes, how often have you, Martin, been in a group just of men, and how raucous they can be and how everything gets thrown out the window, and yet a woman walks into that group and they change their entire demeanor?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the integrity? Are you the same with everybody, or do you only show certain qualities with one group of people as opposed to the other?
Yeah.
How trustworthy is that?
You know, it's funny you just said that, Ron, how trustworthy, and the word I wrote down was trust. You know, we're really on a roll here. When I think about integrity. And the way the two of you have been speaking about it and the example you just gave, Ron, rang so true. Because I think, how does one trust someone who does not have integrity? Mm-hmm. Because then you look and say, oh, you know, there's Joe, just naming a name. There's Joe. He's such a good person. You know, he's got such great integrity. And then somebody says, oh, well, you only know Joe from here, but I know Joe when he's in this situation. He's a whole different person. Mm-hmm. And we've heard that many a time.
Yeah. And it's easy to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned before with regards to emotional imprinting, a lot of times people, and emotional imprinting to me is a better term, would be almost instinct. So that some people's instincts can take control of them, and they're not even aware that they're actually changing who they are and what they're presenting themselves as from one group to the other. They're not even aware that they're changing this. This is the problem with emotional imprinting, because there's, in many cases, there's no thought behind what it is that they're actually doing. So sometimes it takes a long time for them to come to the conclusion or come to the realization that they're lacking integrity, because a lot of times they're running on imprint.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe the same thing, and I would say comes from low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And people with low self-esteem are always trying to appear good in everyone's eyes. So they are amicable no matter who they are with. Could totally contradict what they were saying in the last conversation. But because this person is heading this way, oh, they're all agreeable and let's be friendly. And that flip-flop just to suit who you're with,
mm-hmm,
is a total lack of integrity. And it doesn't give you any basis of what you understand things are, except you're a total flip-flop to everyone you meet just so you can be amicable.
Yeah.
And I think people confuse that with being kind and loving.
Right.
Because they believe, well, I'm not starting an argument. I'm being amicable with everybody.
Well, society pressures us to conform, right?
It does.
Yes, but it does.
If you're being amicable with everybody and flip-flop all over the place, there is truly nothing of kindness or love in that.
Mm-hmm. It's not authentic.
It's not authentic.
And you can feel that when somebody puts on a smiley face and has nothing but pleasantries to say about you.
Mm.
There is no reason why they should be, because you haven't done anything overt to actually merit those comments or those compliments.
Yeah.
Why? What's their agenda? Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
Suspiciousness comes in, right?
Exactly. The best tool to developing personal integrity would be personal transparency. The more transparent you are with everything that you are, when you're out in public, for instance, is that the same outward personality as you are when you're in private, when no one else is around?
Yes. It's not the quote you gave, Karen, but I had one here similar from Hermann Hesse. You are only afraid if you are not in harmony with yourself.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things there in transparency is, picture every conversation you had all day was recorded. And they would all go on Facebook and they'd all get a million hits by everyone you knew and everyone else. How would you feel? Would you be proud of what you said, in a sense? Would you be non-guilty? Would uh-huh. you be not fearful? And if the answer is no, I wouldn't be fearful, and no, I'd be quite happy with what I said, then you're probably living in integrity. You're being mm-hmm. transparent and you're being consistent.
Right.
But if you're not, and those conversations you wouldn't want all these other people to hear, then you're not living in integrity.
And the more transparent, as I said, the more transparent you are, the more accountable you will be to what you say. Because if you're transparent and you're just saying it as you feel it comes up, then if it offends somebody, somebody's going to tell you
mm-hmm.
very quickly. All okay. right. The thing of it is if you're if you hold integrity to yourself, then yes, as I said, we are moving from integrity to absolute integrity. It's going to be a learning journey. We're not going to get this overnight. So many people would almost jump to the conclusion that, oh, it's too difficult to even begin. So I'm going to stay with the gossip. I'm going to stay with giving people what they expect rather than develop personal integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they will fail and lose out on an awful lot of joy and happiness in life.
It's true. It'll cause a lot of lack of joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm. Even in the financial industry,
mm-hmm.
the term buyer beware.
Oh, yeah.
And this used to be lauded as one of the supreme principles in business. want to be looked up to. That if you could somehow underhandedly hoodwink somebody in a deal and come out on top of it, that was somehow admirable and a wonderful trait to have.
Except it shows no integrity.
But there's no integrity, no, because it's all deceit. It's all there's a hidden agenda there that you're not being honest about.
And yet we laud all the time people who have integrity. We think it's a great thing. We see it in movies and books and everywhere, and oh, that's just wonderful. That's a wonderful person. And yet we come up with things like buyer beware and, oh, I did the better deal and squash those people. And I'm going, yeah, how do you reconcile?
Exactly.
We say one thing and do another, and yet we praise both of them.
Well, and most of what we have is learned behavior, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But that is the thing of it is people's conscious awareness is not developed or deep enough to even see the dissonance there.
Right.
That they are one way and behave another. And they applaud, they think that integrity is a wonderful aspect, and they will see it and recognize it and praise it when they see it in someone else. But as I said, it takes a huge degree of courage to be able to look at yourself honestly.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're going to start developing integrity,
yeah.
is having a brutal look at yourself and say, and that's why I'm saying the more transparent you are, yes, you're going to fall flat on your face sometimes, but people will let you know. And the one thing that they might disagree with you, but at least they will respect you because they know that you're saying exactly what it is that you mean.
Yeah. And I think you had a good point there, Karen, is that a lot of it is learned behavior. We've been taught.
Sure.
And this goes back, as I said in the introduction, to the majority rules. Right and wrong is decided by a social group. We give in to that. We have given into it most of our lives because we're taught it by parents, schools, churches, companies, everything. And yet this is what we have to begin looking at and going, where's the truth in that? Where's the love in that? Why is that showing any integrity?
You're exactly right, Martin. And we adjudicate on it. You know, when Ron said, buyer beware, I remember my grade 11 business class, caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember in taking the insurance program, taking the courses, the insurance courses and the liability courses. And it was always about what is your responsibility? What is your accountability? Buyer beware. Now, there's a bit of truth to that in that you do have to have knowledge to have integrity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You do have the accountability to find the knowledge, but when it becomes, if you can slide something through, that's a little bit different.
It's true. Buyers do have to beware because if you're buying a 10-year-old car, you have to be aware enough to ask the right questions. And, you know, if you're just going to say, oh, I'll buy it without asking what's wrong with it or anything else, then you get what you buy.
Right.
But if you ask the questions and they're truthful and they say, no, it has a problem here, it'll probably cost this much here, then you can move to awareness or do this, have it inspected.
But why put a damaged car out on the market and inflate the price, hoping someone's not going to ask those questions?
They may not have inflated the price,
no,
though.
It may have just said it's a good deal. Because I've seen a lot of car ads which say, as is.
Yeah.
And they'll answer the questions. But it is as is. If you don't want to buy it, you don't want to buy it. There is an aspect to buyer beware that you have to have awareness and not walk into things blindly.
Right.
But on the other hand, there should be none of that inflating the price and trying to deceive people.
And hiding information, right? Exactly. And or lying about information. Right.
That shows no integrity.
And there's another statement, Martin, that we talked about the other day. Not only buyer beware, but the entire world is still operating on the ends justify the means. Well,
yeah.
And there again, it's easy to be, you know, hold integrity and say, well, this is what you're getting. But when things get a little darker and a little grayer, then this is where people's integrities get compromised because they know that they're going to have to do something, but the end result is that it's going to be good,
mm-hmm.
but they're still going to have to sacrifice their integrity in order to make sure that end result comes to be. And that is that whole the ends justify the means principle that everybody continues to operate on.
Right. And they don't look for other solutions.
No.
It's just the most expedient one that gains them the most.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you say that, you'll step into the victimizer blame game.
Oh yeah,
because that's all that there is in the ends justify the means. Everybody will do anything in order to make sure that they come out on top.
Yep, and the ends justify the means typically involves hurting some people,
mm-hmm.
and it's usually
and not being honest about it.
Yeah,
and making sure that no one sees what you're doing.
And it used to be what people would justify saying, well, only a minority of the people were hurt. And I'm going, great, if you were one of those minority, how would you feel? Let's put you there and we'll do it anyway. Let's see how they feel about it then. But the other thing is, I think it's becoming more and more, people are beginning to feel they don't care how many people they hurt as long as they get what they want.
What prime example was with the war in Iraq when Madeleine Albright was asked whether or not the 100,000 children that were sacrificed during that war was a good thing. And she said basically, in essence, that yes, they were collateral damage, but the results were applauded. It's that type of thinking that will do horrible things to a person's integrity.
And humanity in general.
And humanity in general.
How does dig us down a deep hole and then cover the top over?
I would say every war that we've ever had on this planet has been as a result of a lack of integrity.
Oh, yeah. They've all been caused by that.
Not being honest about what it is that you're wanting and how far you will go in order to get what it is that you think you want.
Right. Either way. It is something that we have to get over because we still see that happening very much on national level.
Oh, yes.
Where people believe they are more important than anyone else, so they can do what they wish. I'm going, really? And where does that get us? Not a very good spot.
And the only way out, as I've said before, the only way out of the problems that we're seeing on our planet today is when you apply the term absolute to every one of these principles that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We have them there and we're working towards them, and they are going to be very difficult in order to maintain. But the more we are consistent and the more we are dedicated to doing the best that we can and improving as we go, the better chance we will have of making sure that this planet survives the next 50 to 100 years.
Yep. Well, you know, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it goes back in many ways to awareness. And although we did independence last week, I still like that Benjamin Franklin quote. It is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. In other words, don't trust them at their word and don't just follow them blindly. You have to investigate and see if it's truly what you think is best. And that people don't do. There's so many people today just blindly follow whoever the leader is or whoever they believe the leader should be. It doesn't really matter. And they don't look at it. They don't see the ramifications. They don't understand the ramifications. And then when things begin going horribly wrong, they love pointing fingers at them. Mm-hmm. All I've got to say is that. But you supported them every step of the way. How can you point at them? Point at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what you said earlier. We always love pointing our fingers at government or authority or whomever when things go wrong. But we let them do it. We sanctioned them every step of the way and gave them the power.
Yeah, you voted, didn't you?
Yeah. And so because we did that, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Don't point at them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And this is one of the things that on our website, we've had people say, engage in your politicians. Yes, you're putting them in power, but don't relinquish your power to them completely without at least challenging them when you feel that they've not done and they've not come across with integrity and done as you had asked and perhaps that they had put on their platform.
Right. And then there's, as you said, cognitive dissonance. People believe in their party so much that it doesn't even matter what they're doing. They just, oh, I believe in this party. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to support this party. And yet I'll never forget that documentary that was done, and I won't mention the people. They asked a set of people, do you support these actions? And everyone virtually, out of 300 people I asked, virtually said, no, I don't support any of them. And they never said a word to them, but walked away and said, and yet they said they supported this party, and that's exactly what the party wants to do. They never even looked to see if they supported anything the party said. They just support that party. And yet everything they support, they didn't want. And I'm going, how can you be so cognitive dissonant that you don't get that?
And it's almost expected. For instance, this last election in the States was probably the most polarized election I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
And it was interesting how some people within the Republican Party, they were adamant that they did not support Donald Trump whatsoever.
Mm.
And yet when he won the nomination for his party, they all turned coat and said, yes, we're going to support him. Where's the integrity there?
There is none.
There is none. You've just sacrificed your integrity for the illusion that you need to support your party at all costs. There's that word again, the ends justify the means.
Yeah, exactly. And that shows no integrity. But people don't even realize that.
None. And then these people who have turned tail and you know, they've even been questioned in, why were you so against this, you know, Donald Trump at the beginning? And then at the end, you're applauding him. And 9 times out of 10, they usually didn't have a very solid answer as to why that they did that.
Yeah. That happens in politics everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very amazing that people are so fixed on, oh, our family always votes. Why? Oh, because yes. We do. Yeah, well, that's like, does your family always run off the bridge at 200 feet up into the river every year and kill half themselves?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, why? Because we do. You know, because it's lemmings.
Yes. Well, and I think, too, when we talk about elections and things like that, I think oftentimes people will vote against someone by voting for someone else.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And that's without integrity as well.
It is. Because you might not even like the person that you're voting for, but you're going to do it in order to keep your party in power.
Yeah. Right. Now, the interesting thing comes in there is that if you did have integrity and didn't like anyone coming up, then you don't vote for anyone. But the interesting thing there is integrity would not have you vote for someone that you thought was horrible. And if they were all horrible, then you shouldn't vote for any of them. And yet you get hell for not voting.
I know. Again, that's the social conditioning that if you don't vote, that somehow you're anti-establishment type of thing.
Right.
And that you personally have no value any longer.
We do that on so many things.
Yes.
And it's really interesting. It reminded me of sort of a side shoot here. I had a conversation. It was funny. It came up today. Someone asked me my thoughts on something. And I said, well, I think they're doing it all backwards and they should really do it this way. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't we do it that way? Oh, well, you know, this and that and everything else. And I talk about if you were recorded and it was listened to by the world, how would you feel? The thought that occurred to me at the moment when I said it was, God, I wish I could have had an audience with them and tell them that, but I don't have the power to have the audience to tell the people it. So I was happy that even though I was being not negative, I was saying how I think it should be done rather than how it was being done, but I didn't have the audience, and it was an exact frame where I wish I did have the audience, so I'd love to have been on Facebook for that one. It's true. You got to watch everything you say, and then if you say it, are you, and I wouldn't necessarily be proud of it, but are you still happy with what you said if everyone's listening to it?
Oh.
And, you know.
Again, that's being brutally honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And being humble, too. I mean, if that is a huge tool with regards to integrity. If you say something and it's wrong, do you actually out loud and in front of people say, yes, I was wrong, and I'm going to change that? I mean, that in and of itself will add so much to the integrity factor, as well as the respect for people, as well as beginnings of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in people who have the ability and the courage to endure the fires of accusations and still hold their integrity to themselves and say, yes, I was wrong, and I'm going to do better now.
Yeah.
And how can you fault someone who does that? I mean, we've had this discussion before that if someone is wrong and someone calls them out on it, to continue to justify it, they continually lose face in front of people. People will then lose trust.
Mm-hmm.
They lose integrity. But how do you argue with the fact that somebody says, oh, you know what? Thank you for pointing that out. I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. And I'm going to try to do better. Or I'm going to make that change. You're absolutely correct. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I usually go to its benefit. Because I don't know how many times people in the day point out, well, you know, that doesn't make sense because of this. And I look at them and go, my God, you're right. Thank you. I said, now we can do it this way. So I just let the conversation keep going to make it flow still and end up at where we want to end up at.
For sure. Yeah.
And that's the way to go with it, because you get the most positive returns out of it by behaving that way. You go, oh, my God, that's right. Thank you. And then you say where it should go now because you've seen it, changed it, and shifted direction. It's not that difficult.
No, and I think, too, you know, oftentimes we've talked in the past about ignoring our intuition, or some people might call it their gut feeling. And how many times, I know I'm guilty of this myself, but how many times have we heard people, and myself included, say, you know, I should have listened to my intuition, but it just didn't feel like the right choice. Mm-hmm. And yet boldly we go.
I hope you don't mind, but for me, I don't listen to my intuition, and it doesn't go the way I want it to go. I look at that and go, I should have listened to my intuition. Why did I let my mind take me elsewhere?
Exactly, Martin.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what happens. It's past experience and other things that overrides it, even though at that moment you know it's the right thing to do.
Once you begin to develop your intuitive mind and your intuition, once you begin to act on that, you will find that it rarely fails you.
Yeah.
Rarely. The moment, and Martin, you hit it right on the head. If you have an intuitive impulse on something, it's usually not the moment that the intuition hits. It's always a fraction of a second after, where contrary thoughts, and this is your mind telling you, but because of past experiences, you might get burned, so let's not go there.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't, and you get burned.
And you don't, and then you get burned.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Karen, the intuition is your direct link with your spiritual higher self.
Oh, for sure. I don't doubt that at all. But I would say, Ron, I don't always follow it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. 100% no. A lot of the time, more than I did a year ago, for sure. 100%
yes. Yes.
But most people wouldn't even go there.
Right.
Most people who have not begun to understand the connection between their intuitive mind and their spirit body, they distrust it right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust your intuition, your gut feeling. It's going to lead you down, you know, a dark road, and it's going to lead you to ruin.
It's speak your truth, too, because I had a client today that I was going to speak to on something, and I'd already sort of, my mind tried to tell me that she won't agree with that, it's going to cause problems, this and that. But when I was speaking to her, I brought it up and said, you know, quite honestly, I think this is not right, it should be like this, and tried to explain why. You know what she did? Yeah, you're right, what can we do about it? But for some reason, my mind was telling me she wouldn't go that route. And yet, I had no proof of that. Why did my mind go there? I overrode it because my intuition told me to mention it. But for some reason, I couldn't figure out where my mind got that from yet. So I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Your mind does that to you all the time.
It will. And that's all your subconscious lost light, lost will. That's all playing a part in manipulating and controlling you without even you recognizing it.
Yeah, well, luckily I'm beginning to recognize it. But.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting for me because I too, when I first fell onto the path, intuition was not something that I readily trusted. And yet, in one of our prayers that my elder grandmother Parisha, when I was on the medicine path with her, one of our morning prayer, one of the lines in the prayer was, and let my intuitive mind be my spirit as I return to my circle on the wind. So every day I was reminding myself the value of trusting my intuition. Mm-hmm. And so it was always uppermost in my focus every morning. Every morning I would say this. And so I had to condition myself to prepare the field for allowing myself to trust my intuition. Yeah. It didn't come overnight, and it certainly took many, many years before I could really begin to see the value in understanding what my intuition was, where it was leading me.
Mm-hmm. And I think one key thing there, too, that I've mentioned before, and we've all mentioned before, is to ask. We always forget to ask and try and do it as a little isolated island. And yeah, that prayer is asking. And I have found more and more that when I ask, what I ask happens. Don't forget to ask. You're not alone. You have the universe at your back. Let it work with you.
Absolutely.
And not only ask this, your spirit guides or God or creator, but ask people.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know something and you see someone who knows, who might have an answer or a different approach, ask them.
Yes, because we are all one in that sense as well. It's all multifold.
Sometimes, again, being humble and presenting the fact that you don't know everything can be a risky thing for people who have built a house of cards on the fact that they have to polish that illusion. And they have to be sure it's up front. But there is absolutely no integrity there because it's all an illusion. It's all a fake front.
Yeah. And a lot of that just goes back again to, it always goes back to the same stuff. We keep repeating it, but it's so true. Awareness. You have to be aware of how you are feeling, what's going on, and how things work. And you begin feeling how things work. And getting to the point where you can actually get your mind to thinking about how things work. In conjunction with that, it's very important because, as we said, with integrity, so many people just follow what they've been told and there's no awareness there as to what actually works or what is best for people. I always look at key to so much of what we do.
Mm-hmm. And having integrity can lead to so many other good things as well. If you've got integrity, you will definitely gain the respect of others as well as the trust.
Yes, for sure. What was it? I got another quote here. I got full of them, aren't I? Nathaniel Brandon said, integrity is congruence between what you know, what you profess, and what you do. I like that one because it covers all three. It's
interesting. People will admire you when you have integrity. And, yes. You know, if you have integrity between friends, there is a definite bonding that can happen and an increase of love between those two people when you have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
There is no undervaluing or diminishing the importance of developing integrity within your character.
Yeah. Integrity in a relationship is like a cornerstone. You can have such good relationships if you have integrity. If you don't have integrity, they can be absolutely miserable. And that's what you brought on yourself.
That's right. And when you think about it, I think, Ron, you mentioned it at the top of the program around absolute integrity.
Yes.
And, you know, oftentimes people can have integrity with some things, but then when it gets to the bigger things, they fall short.
More difficult.
More difficult. But then there's also the reverse to that I was thinking about, just as you were talking about relationships and trust and building respect, whether it be business or professionally or personally. And I got to thinking that one of the ways in which I think it's very helpful to build integrity is not to diminish those little things. So it's like, that's just a little white lie. And people will often say, that was just a little white lie. But if you catch someone in a little white lie, I don't know about you guys, but I think, when's the big one coming?
Yeah.
Or how would they act when there was a big one?
Yes.
So oftentimes people say, I let that go. It wasn't that important. It was just a little white lie. And yeah, I caught it, but, you know, it was harmless.
Mm-hmm.
It's not harmless because it puts that doubt in. In other words, it moves away from that trust, Ron, that you were talking about building.
Yeah.
So you have to be, you don't have to do anything, but it would be beneficial to build integrity into all the little things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the more honest you are with yourself, the easier it will be to hold integrity and to move towards absolute integrity. You have to, and that's where being humble, admitting when you're wrong, and all of those things, again, being brutal with how you see yourself and your self-development. The more you committed to that, the easier integrity will be, because you're no longer going to be putting forth illusions or excuses or any number of deceitful things in order to prop up an image that is going to fast crumble.
Yep.
So your integrity is everything. It really is.
You hold yourself to your own personal standard.
Yep,
so if you continually show integrity with the little things, it's much easier, I believe, when it gets to the bigger things, because you're holding yourself accountable for a personal belief, a personal feeling.
The one thing I've noticed is as we're expanding, you know, the struggle with integrity becomes harder the more we expand. It's because you're becoming aware of more things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I looked at that, and as I've expanded, you know, my decision not to support certain corporations, for example, that show poor ethics and low integrity, has become actually more difficult, because it gets to a point where it's impractical, almost because that's the norm, not the exception.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
And nevertheless, I would say that's not a reason to shelve our integrity. We must always do what we can, speak our truth and push for change. If every corporation you found out had no integrity, you can't stop living and stop buying food and clothes and everything else. But what you can do is pick the ones that have the most integrity and push for change. And that, in some cases, is the best you can do with integrity.
We still operate on a world that survives on the Babylonian money system. And so boycotting certain companies with regards to the fact that they're not holding integrity, there's power there. There is ability to have change in that regard.
Yep.
But here again, even the whole money system, as I've said before, that's also in question these days with regards to personal value is far more important. And the journey to cementing your God relationship has got to be the primary purpose in life and not the acquisition of funds.
Right. Or material.
Or material, which leads to more material stuff. Money has to buy. Money is the big thing right now that everybody seems to have replaced the worshiping of God with the worshiping of money.
Now, the interesting thing there is there's nothing wrong with having money.
No.
Only because people work it that way to where they just want more material, more power, and more control over other people. But you can work it the reverse way. So you can work your money to help more people. Move them into awareness and change civilization. A lot of people, though, have been taught that money is evil. And I said, money is not evil. It's how you use it that is unloving. I wouldn't even say evil, because I don't believe in good and evil or good and bad. But you can use money in a loving way. It doesn't have to be used in an unloving way.
And but it certainly cannot replace.
No, I'm not saying it does. All I'm saying is that you can use it that way. It doesn't always have to lead you to thinking you're superior because you've got more money. It can lead you to, oh my goodness, look how I can help so many people because I now have money.
I mean, there was a purpose for Gene Roddenberry in his Star Trek series to indicate that Star Trek in that future, they don't work for money.
No,
because they began to realize the disproportionate worshiping of money and what exactly it does to a society. There's only so much amount of money that can go around. So you're always going to be in competition for it.
And then there's that word competition, which shows up.
But it's not the same thing with God's love. There's no need to compete for God's love. God loves everybody and gives love more than anybody could possibly want all the time.
Right. Come from the heart.
Yeah. So how we have created this society is definitely not a reflection of God principles.
Nor integrity.
In action. You know?
Yeah.
Exact. Or integrity. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that integrity has fallen off the wayside so much in the last 30 years. I'm happy to say I do see it growing again.
I do too, Martin.
I think that's such a good thing.
Well, you know what? I think it's also because of the fact that with all of these whistleblowers that are coming out and the truth seeming to be revealed more and more, people's eyes are awakening to this lack of integrity or these hidden agendas. Mm-hmm. They're all being exposed. And so people are waking up to the fact that, the integrity is incredibly important.
Yeah.
And there's a fight going on for that.
Yeah. Because it's not found in our centers of power.
Nope.
Well, the fact that we're all questioning the status quo and not being gullible and not being ignorant and really taking responsibility and accountability for how we live our lives is a true indication of our movement towards that.
Yes.
Well,
our
revolution. And the one thing I'd say on that is, at the moment, absolute integrity just is not there, and it would probably be impossible to obtain because there's so many things that don't show integrity in this world. You can't correct them all. You can move integrity within yourself, which will move other people towards that, which is good. But in integrity, you can also target certain things to change. And if you pick one or two, then you know another 1,000 people will pick another one or two, and another 1,000 another one or two. And eventually, with integrity, we can speak our truth and get things to change. Don't ever believe you have to do it just by yourself. Know that in oneness, we're moving there, and everyone will have their peace that they will say, there's no integrity in that or love in that. And you may point at something else and go, there's no integrity or love in that. Why can't we change it to this? And every time someone does that, and every time more people do that, the more it'll be pushed to change. So never feel overwhelmed by having to do it all.
No, exactly.
As I said before, there's a whole ripple effect, right?
Yeah. As I said, you have to start only with where you are right now today, not where you'd like to be 2 years from the road. Let 2 years ahead come when it comes.
Right.
But right now, with what you can do right now, that's where your point of power is. It's in the present, and this is the only moment that you can make effective change.
Right. Never let it overwhelm you. Otherwise, if you go that route, everyone would be overwhelmed. So you deal with how you can deal with it in a day-to-day life, more importantly, which will, as Karen said, small things will build it. You have to build it day by day, and then you'll find the other pieces will come easier, and you'll step into integrity more easily, and you'll affect change more easily, because you'll affect hundreds of others. You may not realize it, but every day of your life, and just by you as a person, no matter who you are, you affect hundreds of others. And you coming from integrity will affect all. Never underestimate your power by just being who you are.
And power, the power of a leader, for instance, there is no leader on the planet today that didn't get there without at least having some form of integrity, in the sense that they did what they say they were going to do.
Right.
Integrity can also go the other way. And Hitler might have been considered as one that had integrity because he was always going to do what he said he was going to do, not exactly in a loving fashion.
Right.
And in one sense, he could be said that he at least had integrity in that he always wanted to follow through with what he said he wanted to do.
But, and that's why we say integrity is an expression of love, has to come from the heart, or destroys the world instead of building it.
Absolutely.
So yes, they may have integrity, but it's destroying the world, so it is of little use.
Well, and I think it's continuing to come from the heart too, because oftentimes, to your point, Ron, I think a lot of our great leaders, I believe, likely started out potentially, I'll exclude Hitler, potentially, but from a heart center. Mm. And then comes that now I'm in control, and that becomes that misuse of power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you're no longer living in integrity because you're no longer coming from your heart center, because you've allowed something else to take over.
This is where all of our, what we've been doing on all of these programs, once you begin to focus on each one of those things and bring them all into your awareness of who you are becoming, you will never be compromised with regards to power and absolute power corrupting absolutely with that statement that everybody seems to fear so much. People who develop all of these principles within themselves and move towards the self-sovereign individual will never abuse that power.
Right.
They would see it as killing themselves.
For sure.
And that, oddly enough, is still my self-awareness test. I always look at myself during the day and saying, if I had absolute power at this moment, what would I do? If something creeps in that isn't loving, I'm going, okay, you're not coming totally from integrity and you don't deserve ultimate power yet.
Mm-hmm. And we're working there. But
that's, to me, is a good test.
Yeah, it's your bar.
During the day, you would say to a person, change to be this. You're not coming from integrity nor from your heart. And look at yourself honestly. And would you change things forcefully if you had that power? And that means there's still something there to correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're overriding anyone else's will, we have an issue there.
And I hate to say it, but we're down to our last minute.
Oh, goodness.
So we went quickly. And on that, I will say that, and this week I won't forget, next week's topic is joy.
Oh, good.
Always remember, we can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/sovereignself, and we'd love to hear from you. And as always, we thank our network, Law of Attraction Radio Network. And beyond that, as I always say, have a fabulous week.
Yes, wishing you all a wonderful week, everyone.
Have an amazing week, folks.
Thank you for listening to The Sovereign Self. We will be back with another show that will celebrate the beauty and perseverance of you and your sovereign self. If you would like more information or to send questions to Martin, Karen, or Ron, please go to their Facebook page, www.facebook.com/sovereignself. See you next week.